This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, I'm Sarah. When planning our home birth, my husband Matthew and I were really frustrated by the lack of empowering and honest home birth resources. So we created this podcast to start a new conversation for moms and families like us. This is Doing It at Home.
Hey everyone, Matthew Bivens here, and welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. Today we've got something special for you. It is July 22nd, and that means it is my birthday. So I thought it would be a lot of fun to replay my conversation with my mom where she shares with me my birth story. So back on Mother's Day of this year, a couple of months ago, Sarah and I had a wonderful opportunity to have conversations with both of our parents and have them tell us our birth stories. And we published it on Mother's Day. And so I thought, hey, today's my birthday, and 31 years ago today, I was born. So I thought it would be fun to replay my conversation with my mom. So that's what we're going to do, and I really hope all of you enjoy it. Hey, Mom.
Hello there. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm doing great. We just put Maya down for a nap, and so this is like a perfect time to talk. And so how are you?
I am just fine. Had a great day at work. And just winding down this evening. It's beautiful out, and I'm just going to take the dogs for a walk in a little bit.
Awesome. It's like your nightly ritual, the dog walk.
Yes. Yes. They don't let me forget.
No, they don't. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to jump on a call and share my birth story. I think I'm excited because I've only gotten bits and pieces of my birth story from you, and so it's gonna be really cool to hear the whole thing. And you know what, there's like no better time to do it than near Mother's Day. So thank you.
That's right. You're very welcome. I'm glad to share this wonderful story about when you were born, when I was 31 years old.
Awesome. Well, let's share your name real quick, just so everybody knows.
Gary Patricia Bivens.
Beautiful. Dairy Bivens, that's my mom. And yeah. So I'm the first of three. I was the first and the only boy. And so it's myself, it's my sister Dana, 18 months younger than me, and then Carrie, who's 5 years younger. And so did you always know that you wanted kids?
Yes, I did. Always knew I wanted kids. I didn't want them earlier in my 20s. I really wanted that time for myself. And as I got to, be approaching 30, around 29 or so, I really did want to get married and have a family. And so at 31, your father and I got married, and I had you also when I was 31. We got married in September. We got pregnant with you in November. And then we had you that July, so it was a very busy year, 1985 we were married, and then we had you in 1986, so.
That was a busy year.
It was great. It was very nice getting pregnant so easily. That was one, one thing that I didn't have to worry about, and I was very grateful about that.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, because, you know, we were chatting before we hit record, and you were just saying how it isn't the case for many families. You know, it adds that dimension of anxiety on top of everything. So you must have passed that on to me, because the ease of getting pregnant, because Sarah and I got pregnant, you know, very quickly as well, as soon as we began trying. So I appreciate you handing that down.
That's great. You're very welcome. Anytime.
So talk to me a little bit about pregnancy and how you experienced that with me.
In December, you know, I found out that we were pregnant, and that first trimester, I was very tired. You know, just a little bit of nausea, but mostly just exhausted. And then when the second trimester came, it was like a veil lifted. You know, I was felt totally reborn. That tiredness passed, and then the pregnancy was just very nice, both in the second and the third trimester. There were no problems. Everything went very, very well, and I was just so relieved not to be so tired.
It's so interesting, like, you know, that's definitely a thing that happens with a lot of moms. Like, first trimester, you know, it's almost, you can kind of map what's going to happen in each of them.
Right. First trimester, tired. Second trimester, pretty blissful. And then sometimes for some in the third trimester, there are those aches and pains.
Yeah.
With the advancing size of the baby and your abdomen. And, you know, then sleep becomes an issue for some, and then some urinating frequently. But for the most part, those were great trimesters, and I didn't have any problems at all.
Now, did you have a really big belly? Was I a big baby, medium baby, or small baby in your belly?
I would say I was average, but I wasn't all baby, as you and Sarah were. Sarah was definitely just a baby bump. I had gained a little bit more weight, not a lot, but a little bit more. And so I wasn't huge, but just overall, there was the weight gain.
Did people say, oh, I can see the way you're carrying, you're going to have a boy? Like, could you tell?
No, not really. There weren't too many predictions as far as that was concerned. And your father and I didn't want to know, what you were going to be. So we didn't find out. And of course, we waited until the day you were born on July 22nd.
That's so cool.
Yeah, wow. That was wonderful. That was a very nice surprise. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it the same way.
How come you didn't want to know? Is it because you really wanted that surprise on birthday?
Yeah, I just didn't want to know. There wasn't a priority with, you know, how to decorate or what to buy. That wasn't even something I really considered. You know, I just knew years ago women were very surprised at, you know, the sex of their baby at the time they were born. And I wasn't really interested in getting that information from the ultrasounds that I did get while I was pregnant with you.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful surprise, just, you know, having a boy, and it was perfect.
Hmm. Well, so tell me, when did you first know that you were going into labor? Like, what were the signs that kicked it off?
Just some cramping, just, you know, the contractions and cramping. And I knew it started. My due date was July 14th.
Oh, okay.
And so it was July 22nd in the morning. And I did start feeling some, you know, cramping and labor contractions. I had always been told that, you know, with the first baby, labor can take longer, and that there's really, of course, no rush to get to the hospital, you know, wait until the contractions become longer and closer together. So when I started having contractions, I was just taking my time, took a shower leisurely, you know, shaving my legs, moisturizing, washing my hair. And by the time I got out of the shower, I was very uncomfortable.
Oh, wow.
So I went into the shower just the lady of leisure, and I kind of came out like, holy smokes, this is not funny. This hurts. So I was a completely different woman as barreled out of the bathroom and decided to go to the hospital.
So this was in the morning, correct?
Yes, it was in the morning. I probably, maybe around 11 or so, and then probably went to the hospital about 1 o'clock.
So when you got out of the shower and you're like, okay, this is progressing, we need to get out of here.
Yes.
What was the mood? Was it like, you see in the movies where, okay, we got to go, and it's, oh my gosh, get the bag, jump in the car? Or was it more kind of calm? Like, how were you and Dad in that moment?
It was kind of calm, and I wasn't with Kurt. He was working.
Oh, okay.
And so I got a ride to the hospital with our friend. Her name was Ellen. She worked with Kurt. But she was off that day, and she drove me to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, I was a completely different person. I was very overwhelmed with how painful it was. Mm. It totally surprised me. And sitting in the car, just going, I couldn't even get comfortable. I would put the seat back, I'd put the seat up. And she, you know, Ellen never had children, so she was just kind of looking over like,
oh, wow,
I had an alien inside of me. She was just kind of wondering what was going on. One minute I was laying flat, then I'd adjust the seat. I just couldn't get comfortable.
Oh.
And so she was glad to drop me off at the hospital. To get me there.
How long was the drive?
Not that long. She didn't live that far away. It might have taken about 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
This was in San Diego.
Yeah. And I guess it's worth mentioning that, you know, so Dad was a doctor. Were you a nurse at the time or no?
Yes. Yeah.
You were?
I
okay.
was a nurse at the time.
Okay.
And he was a resident in plastic surgery. So he was at the hospital and really didn't have the liberty of leaving his job to come while I was in labor, because he was a resident. He was kind of low man on the totem pole.
Mm.
And you just can't set your hours and say, oh, gotta go. So he really wasn't there for most of my labor. But then, of course, he did come towards maybe the last third of the time that I was laboring at the hospital, you know, which was great. He, you know, he made it in perfect time and got to be there for, you know, obviously the most important time.
So Ellen gets you to the hospital, and did they come out to like greet you out front with a wheelchair, or did you like walk
in
there?
We came in and I was wheeled to the maternity area, the mother-baby area. And there they were were just trying to check me in, get me changed into a hospital gown, get a blood pressure. But every time I had a contraction, I just could not focus. I couldn't sit. I would just stand up and start walking around. I'd pull the blood pressure cuff off my arm because it was uncomfortable. So it was kind of hard for them to get me settled. And they, when they did get me settled in my room, they did call immediately to have the anesthesiologist come and place an epidural, which had been the plan the whole time. You know, I was planning on having an epidural. And so I really wanted it. I mean, I wanted it even before I got to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so when I, you know, when I got there, we called, they called the anesthesiologist and they came and placed the epidural.
So you mentioned that when the contractions came, you would stand up and walk around. Was that like the most comfortable for you to be walking and moving through the contractions?
Yes. Yeah, it was, you know, I just found them so uncomfortable that just to be sitting there just wasn't enough. And with a blood pressure cuff, adding more pressure on my arm, I would just stand, take it off,
yeah,
and start walking around.
Did you guys do any like prep, any courses?
Yeah,
or
we did.
Any of that stuff?
We did the Lamaze
okay.
class, the Lamaze breathing, and I did that series of classes, you know, when I was pregnant, probably when I, in the second trimester. It's just that Lamaze didn't prepare me for how painful the labor contractions would be. It really, I mean, it was helpful. You know, you always remember breathing. That's always, it always becomes the mantra, but I was really overwhelmed with how uncomfortable it was. And so the Lamaze just kind of went out the window. And I did rely a lot on the nurses and the doctors just trying to, you know, calm me down, help me through each contraction.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was definitely a group effort.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand that. That's how it was when you were at Maya's birth. It was very much a group effort. So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So the nurse gives you the epidural, and then was it like immediate relief?
The anesthesiologist.
Anesthesiologist, sorry.
Gives the epidural. And no, unfortunately, the epidural only took on one side. And I've heard that's pretty common.
Oh, wow.
So instead of, you know, both sides, you know, being knocked out as far as feeling, only one side I got relief from the contraction. So from the point the epidural was placed to when you were born, I really felt everything on one side.
Oh, wow.
Which was very intense, you know, and very uncomfortable. And but, that's the best that they could do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they gave me all the medication they could through the epidural, but it was only numbing one side.
So you got into the hospital, we'd say about 1 o'clock, and then, you know, you're going through all of the contractions and the epidural and all of that. About how long were you laboring?
Probably just from that morning, say 11 o'clock, until you were born, I think at like 6:11 in the evening. So really not that long for the first baby, about 7 hours.
Wow. And how about the pushing through that? How long?
Not terribly long. I think that was for about maybe an hour. That took longer. I don't know why, but I guess, you know, maybe because I was a runner. I remember the obstetrician, my obstetrician, having his partner come in and help, because I guess my perineum was just very tight and they did have to do an episiotomy. And I really pushed a lot to get you out.
I got this big old head. I understand it.
So So they were both working together to try to get you out. So there was a lot of pushing.
Was Dad in the room at that point when the pushing started?
Yes, yeah, he was in the room, and you know, it got pretty intense. I remember my blood pressure really dropped at one point, and I was hyperventilating just because of the pain.
Yeah.
And I remember them, you know, flattening the bed to help raise my blood pressure and putting oxygen on. And I remember I vomited. So, you know, in a matter of, you know, a couple of minutes, there was a bit of drama with the way I was feeling physiologically. But, you know, they had the oxygen mask on me, and I recovered and just pushed. And then I remember when you were born, they basically pulled you out. I remember them pulling that I was kind of lifted off the table, the bed, you know. I just remember them really pulling and getting you out. And I mean, there was no trauma to you or anything, not even a mark, but I do remember literally being pulled off the table.
Oh, wow.
As they were pulling.
Wow. You know? So I had to pull my butt out of there. Oh, man.
So you were born beautiful, 8 pounds, 3 ounces, absolutely beautiful. And Kurt and I were overjoyed. And I think from all the pushing that I had done, I developed a hematoma somewhere I don't know whether it was vaginally or somewhere in the retroperitoneal area. I had developed a hematoma, and they actually kept me one night extra just to keep an eye on that. They monitored my blood count, and they just wanted to make sure that that wasn't getting any larger. And I wasn't symptomatic or anything, nothing hurt, but I guess upon doing a pelvic examination, they could feel this hematoma, and they wanted to make sure it didn't get any bigger. So I actually spent 2 nights in the hospital with you, whereas I, you know, just spent 1 night with Dana and Carrie.
Wow. So what was it like when I finally came out, after they had pulled me out?
Well,
what happened after that?
It was just joy. It was bliss that it was over. It was joy that you were beautiful and you were healthy and fine. And then a little bit later, just you know, latching on and being able to breastfeed you again with no problem. That was another thing I was very grateful for, because again, that can also be very problematic for new mothers, is for various reasons not being able to breastfeed. Either the baby is sleepy and doesn't latch on, or there's a problem with milk production. But it was just easy. It was easy. You just latched on, and you were getting what you needed, and there was just no problem.
Mm.
It was very easy.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful 2 days in the hospital. I was just euphoric. That's the only word I can explain.
Wow. So they didn't have euphoric. To take me away or anything like that?
No. You were with me most of the time. They did take you away to circumcise you, which is something if I had to do it again, I wouldn't have had you circumcised. Looking back on that, I don't think that's a very nice thing, good thing to do to baby boys without any anesthetic. It was something that Kurt wanted, I think, you know, being a man and knowing, you know, maybe if you're uncircumcised with a bunch of boys that are circumcised, you look different. Maybe he didn't want that, you know, stigma or whatever, but he wanted you circumcised. And I hadn't really, you know, I just, you know, went along with it. But now, you know, knowing that no anesthesia is given, no local anesthesia, I think if I did it differently, I would not have had you circumcised and let you decide if you wanted that done yourself and have a surgical procedure where you could have anesthesia and be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, Sarah and I have chatted about that for baby number two, if baby number two becomes a boy. So it is very interesting. You know, it's an interesting conversation and decision to make.
Yeah, I just, if there's no way you can help with that pain, I can't see putting an infant through that. And just because they don't remember it doesn't justify doing that. You know, it is very painful. They do scream. They are bundled up, you know, swaddled and bundled while it's done. And it's very painful.
Makes me hurt and just hearing that now.
Yeah, I just wouldn't have done that. That's probably the only thing I would have done differently.
Yeah.
In that whole birth process, is not have been so quick to have you circumcised.
Yeah. So after the 2 days in the hospital, and you're ready to go home, what was that like? Were there any nerves in the car ride home? Like, how did that happen? Who drove?
No, Kurt drove. It was fine. It's surprising that, you know, me being a nurse and Kurt a surgeon, we didn't know that a breastfed baby's stool, you know, was so liquidy. So when you would have a bowel movement, you know, it would just be this liquid, and he and I thought you had diarrhea, and we were very concerned. We didn't understand why you were having this, you know, liquid stool, and I called my pediatrician, and she explained that that is what the stool would look like. So, you know, we were very much relieved that that wasn't a problem, but surprises me how, you know, that was just something that we weren't aware of. You know, I was aware of breastfeeding and the importance of latching on and everything. And then once it was done, I didn't know that the, you know, the bowel movements would look different. And so we were both very dismayed and worried when, you know, for a couple of days you would have these liquid stools. We thought you were having diarrhea. We were very concerned that you would get dehydrated. And then it turned out that there was nothing.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
So
just having that not really knowing and being concerned, but.
Right. Just for a couple of days, we had a lovely pediatrician and she said, no, that's totally normal. And so that was it. Wow. You know, that was our crisis, and then everything after that, you know, just went fine.
Did you have any help at home in the days after I was born?
No. Kurt's mother came out, and she stayed for maybe a week.
Like right after, or how long after?
I'm trying to remember. I think she came very shortly after I came home, and actually we weren't even at home. We weren't at our home. We were actually staying at Ellen's house with her husband. We hadn't closed on our condo.
Oh,
and
wow.
That
was nice. Nice of them.
So we actually were staying at their house because they were going to be vacationing for about 2 weeks. So we were at their house. I think the day that she left for vacation was the day that I went into labor. And that's why she took me to the hospital. But so Kurt's mother arrived, I think, you know, a day or two when I got home. No, I didn't have help. And I didn't think I needed help. And I didn't really want any help. I guess I was just so happy that you were just so beautiful and so perfect that I was very sore I do remember that. I was extremely, you know, to sit down. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Kurt's mother would make dinner, and that was nice, just being able to, you know, sit down and have dinner. But no, I moved out to California when you were 8 months pregnant, when I was 8 months pregnant with you.
Wow.
The first place I went to was a bed and breakfast that a coworker of Kurt's at this hospital where he was doing his residency had just opened. I stayed there for a week, almost a week by myself. This was while he was driving cross country, moving to, you know, California. This was in June.
This is from New York, correct?
So I stayed at this bed and breakfast by myself with our two cats. I flew out with them. And then Kurt arrived, and then we moved into faculty housing at UCSD San Diego campus. We lived there, I think, for a month. And then from there, we went to Ellen's house. And that's when I went into labor and had you. So, after that, it was just very nice getting to our condo and just getting really settled as a family with the three of you, but, you know, with the three of us. But I didn't feel I needed help because I didn't have any help. So, it wasn't something that I missed, and it wasn't something I felt I needed. I think I was so grateful for how beautiful and perfect you were that I didn't feel I was missing anything. I felt I had everything I needed, which I did.
Yeah.
I had everything I needed.
Was that first, you know, month of parenthood what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah. Absolutely. Just, you know, basically the breastfeeding, you know, getting up often. I wasn't working, you know, of course, you know, during those first couple of months. So it was fine. You know, Kurt was able to, you know, go to work and do what he needed to do. And I was, you know, happy to be at home and taking care of you. So, yeah, it was fine. That was fine.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. That's I really, like I said, I've only heard bits and pieces of that story, and to hear the whole thing connected together is really, it's really sweet.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you liked that story. It was,
yeah. It
was a beautiful experience for us.
I'm incredibly happy and grateful that, you know, you were such a big part of Maya's birth and, you know, our pregnancy, and, you know, you were able to, you know, because we live 30 minutes away from one another, so you we were able to be together often, and then you were here for Maya's pregnancy. So it's really, I don't know, what was that like for you, kind of coming full circle 30 years later?
I was very humbled, you know, coming to your house that morning when Sarah was in labor, probably around the same time that I started labor, around, I guess I got there about, well, actually it was earlier. I must have gotten there around 8 or 8:30 or so. It just, the whole atmosphere in the room was very, it was very solemn. It was quiet, and just, you know, walking in there and seeing Sarah laboring in the tub, in the, you know, in the baby swimming pool, I was very impressed and humbled at how she was handling the contractions and the whole mood of her labor. It was wonderful. It's something I will always remember and always cherish, and it was just an amazing, unforgettable experience.
Yeah, you've had, you know, having three kids of your own and being there for your granddaughter's birth, you've got a lot of those pretty incredible, unforgettable experiences, I imagine.
Right. Right. Exactly.
One of the things that hearing my birth story, the fact that you had planned on an epidural, you were kind of counting on the epidural, and you got it, but it only half took, so you had to just deal with it, basically, deal with not, you know, it not going the way that you wanted. Like, that had to have been a challenge, because you're expecting all this relief, you're expecting all this, all these things, and you've prepared for it, and then it doesn't go that way. And so now I'm like, man, my mom is, you know, I knew you were a badass, but I'm like, man, my mom's a major badass.
Yeah, and since that happened, you know, I've heard of that happening to a lot of women.
Yeah.
Where the epidural only takes on one side. That's not very uncommon. It was disappointing, and I think it definitely contributed, you know, to my hyperventilating and probably a little bit of panicking while I was in, you know, having those frequent contractions and transitioning, because it was so uncomfortable, you know, on that one side. I basically, you know, did feel everything. But it, you know, it turned out fine. So, and, you know, fortunately I did have the wonderful nurses and doctors just, you know, helping me through and doing what they needed to do. And, you know, having you arrive safely and healthy. And so it was fine. It did have an effect on me when I was pregnant with Dane and Carrie, though. The anticipation of labor was not very savory for me. And with Dane, I actually got an epidural before I even started labor. I happened to be dilated without having contractions. I was overdue with Dana, so it was the day before Thanksgiving, and the doctor just said, oh, let's just go in and today and have this baby. And so when I got to the hospital, they just put the epidural in before I even had contractions. And so I had her without feeling a thing. And so that was amazing. And then with Carrie, I just had some contractions, you know, some labor pains, but got the epidural, and then, you know, the birth was fine.
Wow, so I was the one who brought all the drama, huh?
most of it, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
definitely,
man.
Most of it.
I guess that's the first. You don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Exactly.
Well, Mom, thank you so much. Thank you so much for again, mm-hmm. Taking this time to share the story with me. Like, that's, I don't know, that's awesome. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for you, for all that you have done and you continue to do for me and Sarah and Maya, and, you know, this is special for me.
Okay. I'm so glad we have this recorded. It will always be our little history. And I'm very glad that you have the complete birth story now.
Me too.
Of course, anything else you can think of, we can always add to this interview down the road.
Oh, wonderful. And maybe you can grab some of those early, see if you can find any early photos. I'd love to check those out next time I come over.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Mom.
Okay.
I love
All
you.
Right.
And happy Mother's Day.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. I love you too. Bye-bye.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.